everybody, and welcome to the Life in the Wick podcast. This is Tiffany Spaulding, and I'm here today with my good pal, Debbie Wilkerson.
Hello.
She's my next victim as we talk about Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. And this week, we are talking about rule number 5.
Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them.
Whew. That's a big order, isn't it?
That's a mouthful.
That's a tall order. All right. So if you're new to the podcast, like I said, this is number 5. So there are 4 earlier versions, and we are working through each of the rules in the 12 Rules for Life book. And our goal is to discuss the rules a little bit and then maybe give you some ways to apply those rules to your life as we go through. So I think one of the coolest things is there's a lot of wisdom in the book. And so I kind of like to go through and pick out, force my victims, like Debbie, to pick out kind of the top things, the most impactful things that they found. So I'll let you start. What did you think your like kind of first most impactful thing for you?
Well, for me, right off the bat, was just the title of rule number 5. I thought, do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. Oh my gosh, I never even thought about that.
No, but we do like to like our children, so it's good.
Yes.
That we don't. But keeping that in mind, it is impactful, and it's not something, which we kind of talked about earlier, that people just say, right? Like, they don't just come right out and say things like that. And that's one of the great things about the Jordan Peterson books are that he just says things that other people wouldn't say. Because admitting for a minute that you don't like your children, that's like...
Now, who says that out loud?
Jordan Peterson. That's it. He's the only one.
Who says that out loud?
He's the only one. I think one of the things, too, that kind of jumped out for me in the first part of the chapter was that raising your children and making sure that you like them so that other people in society will like them. One of the things he says was each person's private trouble cannot be solved with a social revolution. And so socializing your children so that they, I guess what he's trying to say is don't, your kids aren't special. They're not special. They need to be part of society and function in society, and they can't have a revolution because they have, because they're special, right? It's your job to make sure that they fit in well with society.
And it's those clear rules that he talks about that you need to create for them. And the clear rules of the discipline.
Yes. Yes. Right. And if you lay out those clear rules, and it's funny, we're talking specifically about children in this chapter, but clear rules are important in kind of all of your relationships, right? Like if you lay out, these are the rules, these are the, I guess the buzzword, boundaries. But it's the same. If everybody knows what to expect and they know what the punishment is going to be or the reward is going to be, having those clear rules, the clear punishment, very valuable.
And then along with that, I'm not a math person, as you know. And when he talks about everybody hates arithmetic, oh my God, I hate math. I hate numbers. I hate adding and subtracting and all that. Never have liked that. And when he talks about how much time spent getting your kids to bed,
right,
it's just amazing. And the crying, how many minutes when you take that, you know, per day, per week, per year, that was very eye-opening to me.
Well, and it's interesting when he talks about that. So if you haven't read the book, he, what is it, 24 work days or something, mm-hmm, that this person had spent just trying to get their kid to bed over a year, and doing the math that we don't want to do on both levels. Like, we don't actually want to do the math, but we don't want to know what we're doing that's wasting our time or building that resentment or whatever it is. So it's kind of interesting on both levels, the physical math level. We don't like to do it. I had a math anxiety all the way through college. I remember my dad telling me, you know, the most important thing to know about whatever math class I was taking, calculus or whatever, is when's the last day you can drop it without taking an F, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Thing. Just take what you have to take.
That's right.
But
yeah, get over it. Get past it. But it is true. Calculating up that time that you spend doing things spending what we talked about maybe in rule number one, wasting time, that if you had the discipline and you were willing to put those rules in place for bedtime, in this case, mm-hmm. that everybody would be a lot happier and you would have those 24 work days to spend at the park or reading with your kid or doing something fun instead of building up
exactly
resentment for whatever's going on.
Yes.
For me, another thing that really jumped out, and the word responsibility is a common thread through the book, was it's an act of responsibility to discipline your children. So not disciplining them is irresponsible. You know, your goal as a parent is, or my goal as a parent, I believe everyone's goal as a parent should be to produce self-sufficient offspring, right? Kids that can get out in the world and function. And so being responsible as a parent is a kind of a key, discipline is a key part of that, getting your kids out there.
Yes, and we were talking about the fact that, at least for me, discipline when they were really young was all about their safety. I just based my spankings or grabbing the arm or whatever.
Thumb in the armpit.
Thumb in the armpit. Based on whether or not they were going to be in a situation that they could get hurt.
Right. That was going to be dangerous.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting the impact of, let's call it physical punishment, a spanking, a flick to the head, which we also talked about. But pain gets your attention like nothing else. Mm-hmm. And when you, it's key. And so knowing along with that, which we talked about also, was knowing yourself, the harshness of yourself. Like, what are you doling out, a beating, or are you spanking your child? Like, knowing yourself in that realm of, what is this, what I should be doing? Is this
right?
Is this responsible to be beating my child, or am I just giving it a spanking?
Right. I mean, I could never bring myself to spank either of my kids if they accidentally pooped in their pants.
Right.
Or
it's not safety.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, it was just an accident. And of course, you know, at an older age, you appreciate that more now. Joking, of course. So, I don't know. Not a reason to spank them.
Not a reason to spank. But safety, something that's going to cause them pain or suffering, undue pain or suffering, where you need to get that attention. So, and then one thing that both of us kind of noted was this idea, and in kind of two different sections of our little questionnaires here, parents have a responsibility to be a proxy for the rest of the world, right? And show their children, again, the responsibility word is their or duty to be a proxy to the world. And I think that's really important. Also, how your kids have to know. These are the things that mm-hmm. happen.
Yes. And you want them to be a successful, active participant in society and the world,
right?
You don't want a basement kid.
No, no.
For sure. You want them out and about and being successful.
And having friends, good relationships.
Exactly.
I think that's an interesting thing, too. And again, in the book, we're not obviously going to pick the chapter apart, but where he talks about socializing, when you look at kids who have trouble or people who have trouble as young adults, it's because as children, they weren't socialized. They weren't out there. They weren't being forced into society and learning all those things that you learn as a young kid about how to behave in the on the playground or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So all those things.
Yep.
So we all know it's good to discipline our kids, right? We may disagree on how to do it, but we know that we need to do it. But sometimes we don't. So why do you think that is, that people have a hard time living this rule?
I know for myself, my daughter, when she was, I don't know, a couple years old, whenever we would go out to eat was the time she'd finish eating, and she was all cute and dressed up and at the table, and then just out of the blue, just start crying to the point where it was like, okay, who wants to take her outside because nobody else can eat at our table? Plus, we were getting those horrible looks from everybody in the restaurant. So that was one of our biggest challenges. And as much as you wanted to just let her cry to learn that we were going to ignore her, you couldn't in that public setting.
No. No.
And I still remember how we would take turns if my parents were there. You know,
somebody has to take her out.
Yeah.
Take the kid out.
We get thrown out.
Yes.
And it is hard. It's hard to, I mean, you know that you have to take them out, but it's a difficult thing. I think there's a lot of social norms right now too that make it difficult to discipline your children because there's a lot of stuff out there that's like, you can't stifle your kids' creativity. You can't, you know, if you're mean to them or punish them, they're not going to be happy and that's going to be your fault and all of these things. And I think one of the themes through this chapter is that your children will be happier if they are disciplined and they understand, mm-hmm. what did you say, the clear rules.
Exactly.
And clear punishment for, or clear discipline.
Right.
For those
and how they need to act in different situations. Sometimes I think we don't give our kids, especially little kids. I mean, if you think about it, they're way smarter than we are. I mean, they will
right.
take it to the limit and take you to your breaking point.
Yes.
So, you know, you got to give them some credit, and you have to, they want that leadership.
They want it and they need it. And you're right. They will push you because they are smart. They know it's a game. They know they're manipulating the situation to get what they want, all of those things. And they're going to do that to you as long as you let them. But then when they leave you, they're going to try to do it to their friends and their coworkers and the kids at school and their mm-hmm. teachers. And it ain't going to go so well. No,
it's not. Yeah. It's not.
It's not. No friends. Teachers aren't going to like them. None of that stuff.
No.
But that sort of brings me, well, I guess also in that vein of why people don't do it, I think they're afraid their kids won't like them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They're afraid their kids won't like them. And I don't know. If your kids like you, you're doing something wrong. Right? In that median age, right? Like, they like you. So they're little, and then they go through this phase where they think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yes.
And then they get to the next age where they're like, they want nothing to do with you. You're whatever. Right. And that's really another point where discipline becomes very important mm-hmm. and structure. And I think Jordan Peterson even mentioned in the book about if you want to communicate with your teenager when he or she shares something with you, put down your phone and engage in that moment or they never will share anything with you again. Right. Was that in the book or was that another Jordan Peterson speech that I was listening
to? No, I think so. And I think that's probably the challenge today. Now, for me, we didn't have cell phones.
No.
And when I got home from work, it was all about the kids. It was all about fixing dinner and doing laundry and doing homework and all that kind of stuff because they were in daycare, too.
Right.
So, that's the good news, I guess, about the old wall phone,
right?
The old dial it,
right? Well, and you did. You weren't as distracted,
exactly.
And even little kids now have that distraction, and so often where I had an experience with an acquaintance, and she was having trouble with her son who was 7 or 8, and she said to me. I said, well, take him off the video game. Like he mm-hmm. would be playing a video game and he would yep. not respond to her or he would be sassy with her. And she said to me, I don't think you don't understand because your kids are older. I can't take him off the video game. His character will die and he's playing on a team. And then the rest of the guys will be let down. Right? That's ludicrous. Like, it's a video game. Like, that's it. If my kid was playing Monopoly and he was sassing me, even if his friends were there, I would say, you're done with the Monopoly game. You guys can finish. You, come with me. You're in trouble. Right? You just shut it down. But now this child's grandmother won't hang out with him. His teachers complain about him. But his mom is worried about his character dying in a video game and how devastating that will be to him. So anyway, okay. What are we going to do, though? We know the rule. How to apply it? I mean, there's the obvious, right? Discipline your children so that they don't, I don't know, read the rule again.
Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them.
Ugh.
So that's just painful to say.
It is painful to say, right? But it's true. Because if you can dislike your kids, I mean, it's hard for us to dislike our own children. So if we can, the rest of the world is definitely not going to like them. And that's kind of the key.
No.
But so I think one of the interesting things is that it used to be also that children, it used to actually be, now it's a buzzword, it takes a village, but it used to actually be the village that was raising your children. We kind of talked about this, right?
Yes.
As children, we respected and did whatever adults told us to do.
Yes, yes.
Right? And now, kids, they don't have to listen to their teachers. They don't have to listen to the neighbors. They don't necessarily listen to grandparents or aunts or uncles. There's a totally, the village is no longer allowed to offer any sort of discipline or structure or whatever, because kids now go home to their moms who don't want them to be sad. So if you're raising kids right now, please discipline them and let them know that adults, their teachers, these are important people making a contribution to your kids. So take the teacher side.
Exactly. And it's the whole respect thing.
Right. Adults know things.
I know. And, you know, to earn that respect, I think there has to be a little bit of that jerking around. That
yes.
Discipline that we don't particularly enjoy doing.
Yeah. And we don't enjoy doing it to our own kids or other neighbor kids or whatever. But you need to. I mean, when we were kids, right, we were more afraid if Mr. Jones yelled at us for riding our bikes through his yard. We didn't go home and tell our moms Mr. Jones yelled at us. What did we do? We prayed that Mr. Jones
didn't tell us.
Didn't call your mom. So your kid is right there. Right. So it is an interesting.
I think people today have a tendency to like post things about others rather than, you know, say, don't, you know, run through my yard, please, and kick over my potted cactuses. You know, they would rather do some kind of a posting on something
so
online.
That's interesting, right? It goes both ways. Like, you need to take responsibility for what you want and what you, like you said, hey, you, stop riding your bike through my yard and kicking over my cactuses rather than, I think that social media is such a cowardly way to say things like that, right?
Who has the bratty kid on the purple bicycle with the big fat tires?
Right. That? Instead of, you know who it is.
Yeah.
Go
exactly.
Knock on the door.
Exactly.
Have an adult conversation.
Exactly.
And that's you taking discipline for yourself as well. What do you think, Debbie? What do you think? What, how could people apply this? I mean, other than obviously disciplining your children, like what ways can we apply these things?
Well, just remember the rule. Number one, I mean, try to get it in your head.
Okay, wait, but I want you to share about what your pediatrician said.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I've always thought the right thing to do was what my pediatrician told me with my daughter. And that was, no matter what you do, your kids survive in spite of you. And that was like my mantra as far as the kids go. And, you know, I just kept that in my head for all these years. And I even said something to you right. about that. And that was the first thing I thought of when I saw the title of this book, was maybe that pediatrician. I don't know if it was bright or not. Now, after all these years, I mean, my kids are absolutely fabulous. So right. there was something went right, you know, in that period of time. But yes, I lived by that. And that was kind of my way of not blaming myself for everything that went haywire.
Okay, but that goes back. Okay, I know I'm.
Cause, no, no.
Right, it goes back to that. Yeah, not blaming yourself for what you screw up either. Like, right, you do the best you can with the information and skills
yes.
that you have.
Yes.
And then you don't carry that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
I think that was one of your notes also.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
All right. So, in applying it, keep it in mind. Like, just keep it in mind. And then for those of you who are kind of done raising children, this is a rule that you can sort of apply to your friends and family. Debbie and I were talking earlier about friendships, and as you get older and you want everybody to get along with as little drama as possible and really kind of enjoy this, whatever we're calling it, the last quarter or whatever it is.
That's kind of sad.
I know, but it's true.
It is
right?
true.
That's the
it
thing.
It is true. It's the last chapter.
Yeah. And if you recognize that, which is what we were talking about, like, then you can move through that and make decisions. But I guess going back to how this works, you don't want to let your friends or family do things that make you dislike them either. Right. So, I mean, without sounding kind of underhanding and conniving, there's some parts of the book that talk about reward and punishment.
Yes.
Right. And using that tactic, I guess, for lack of a better word, to get your friends or family or husband to do what.
I was going to say, you had the best story about your husband.
I got a lot of stories about my husband, sadly. Yeah. So just quickly, my husband, I do the laundry. And not that he's incapable. He's certainly capable of doing the laundry, but I don't like him to do the laundry because his idea of doing laundry is different than mine. But so I said to him, honey, when you pull your shirt or whatever off a hanger, can you move the hanger to the front? And he goes, why would I need to do that? And I said, of course, because when I'm doing laundry, it's easier to come and grab all the hangers than to dig through. And he kind of gave me this, you know, that's ridiculous. Not your ridiculous. Debbie knows my husband pretty well. Not like you're ridiculous. Not that he wouldn't say that, but more like that's, I don't understand why you would do that. It's easy to pull the hangers out. Well, then he did it. He put two hangers on the front. And then in this idea of reward for good behavior, to continue that good behavior, then I told Debbie, I brought him an ice cream sandwich and said, thanks for doing that. Thanks for bringing the hangers to the front. Not that the two things were even connected, but in his mind, he was getting rewarded for doing this little task that wasn't anything. And now all the hangers are at the front every time. It's awesome. So in the wrap up, think about how, as you're reading this chapter, especially if you're our age and the kids are all grown
adults.
Up. Adults. Yes, they're all grown up. How you can apply this maybe somewhere else in your life, or maybe share the information. If you're a grandparent or expecting to be a grandparent, or this might be a great chapter for expectant parents.
Yes, or like we said, kids, your kids now who have little toddlers, and it's just so different now, and especially after they've maybe haven't even socialized
right.
very much at all until now.
Well, especially kids that are in the COVID
right? kids.
COVID kids.
You
got to catch them up with being social as yes. parents and grandparents and integrating them in. And so I think, I love the title of this rule. It kind of gives you a little bit of a stomach ache.
It definitely does. Definitely does. Wow.
And inspires you a little bit as well. So you have any last words for us, Deb?
Just remember the thump on your forehead.
Yes.
That doesn't hurt. That gets attention.
Attention. Yes. That was
my father's best thing. He had fat fingers, did it quite well.
Funk. And you were like, what? Right?
I think that's a great thing to remember because you can laugh at it.
Right.
Later.
But it's going to get your attention.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is really important to remember. Get their attention. And I think I had a conversation with my mom kind of about raising kids. And what you said, that your pediatrician said, kind of fits in with that. They will survive.
In spite of you.
In spite of you. That if you love your kids and they're insecure and love, you can screw a lot of stuff up.
That's for sure.
But try to be disciplined. Lay out the rules clearly, the punishments.
And don't ever dislike them. Ever, ever.
Yeah, don't let them do anything that makes you dislike them. Because if you dislike them, the world will dislike them. Right. All right, my friends. Thanks so much for tuning in. Debbie, thanks for joining me today. Super fun to have you.
Me.
Yeah,
thanks.
Great. So I will see all of you next Monday for rule number 6. I think that might be Eileen's rule. Ooh, another good friend of ours here for rule number 6. So thanks so much for tuning in today. We'll see all of you
Bye.
Next week.